This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers and sisters, the Quran reminds us, كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالخير والشر فتنة وإلينا ترجعون. Allah the Almighty says, every single soul will taste death and we will test you with goodness, with fortune and with misfortune, and to us is your final return. This verse is often quoted during the janazah. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. But this, the wording in this verse, subhanAllah, firstly is very interesting. Allah the Almighty says every soul will taste death, a ذوق. Instead of saying every soul will experience death or will feel death, which seems to be the more logical way to say it. And some of the scholars, they say this is also the case when Allah spoke about punishment. ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, Allah says, and taste the blazing fire, taste the blazing fire. And the scholars, they say, perhaps one of the wisdoms is that from all the senses that Allah has given us, from feeling, from seeing, from hearing, taste is the sharpest. Taste elicits the biggest reaction. If you ever tasted something extremely salty, it is difficult to pretend as though it is not salty. Why? Because the taste buds, the sensation is very strong. And perhaps that is the reason why they say Allah said, taste death, taste the punishment, to express the shock with which we will experience death, Allahu Musta'an. And how it will be something that we will experience, and nothing before it had ever been like that. And though when you think about death, it is something that saddens you, and it's something that you'd rather not think about, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. He said, remember a lot the destroyer of pleasures. A lot, think about it a lot, he said. Why? Not because he wants us to be people that are sad and gloomy, but because in the remembrance of death, we find inspiration. In the remembrance of our own personal death, do we find the motivation to be better people? Just the other day, a very good friend of mine, he phoned me and he said, you know, I have some sad news to share with you. Just last week, my cousin passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. He said he was only 54 years old, somebody who I was very close to, and he said, I've grown up with him all my life, and his death has really shocked me. And then he told me exactly how he found out about the death of his cousin. He said, firstly, my cousin, he was at work. He was being interviewed by HR about something to do with his job, and the lady was asking him questions, and then the lady noticed that his head had dropped down like this and he wasn't responding. So she asked him, Ahmed, what is the matter? What is the matter? And then he raised his head up and his head fell backwards and his eyes closed. This is at work. This woman was in shock. She called the ambulance. The ambulance arrived later and they said, this person has died. This person has been dead for a while. And then what happened is that people, obviously, the workplace found his family. And then the news began to spread. And this person lives up north, and my friend is here in London. And he said, I received a call from my mother. And he was at work, he works in the pharmacy. He said, the day before, my mother said to me that, you know, when you go to work, remember to get my toothpaste. So when I saw the phone ringing, I thought my mom has phoned me to remind me. So he picked up the phone and his mom said to him, remember to get the toothpaste. And then she said, you know, your cousin, he's had a major heart attack. And he said, what? What do you mean? Who? She said, Ahmed. And then he said, is he okay? And she said, no, he's dead. And she started crying and she hung up the phone. Now his mother was in so much shock that she didn't know how to break the news to her son that this is what's happened to your cousin. She couldn't find the words. This is what happens. When you are in shock, you cannot speak properly. You lose the power of speech. But for my friend, this was the worst way to find out. He said, as soon as she hung up the phone, he said, I started to scream uncontrollably. And then he said, I started pacing up and down the pharmacy thinking, what has happened? What has happened? And he said, maybe it's not true. Maybe my mother has misunderstood. So he picked up the phone and he phoned his niece, the daughter of his cousin. And he said, is it true what they're saying? And she said, it is true. I'm in the hospital. I'm looking at him right now. He has gone. Allahu Akbar. He said, in that moment, he hung up the phone. He said, I began to cry uncontrollably. How? How could he be gone? Like this? Total shock. And he said he began to think about how he can make sense of this. And he said, the first thing I thought about when I was in a state of panic is how Allah the Almighty says in the Quran about Ashabul Yameen, people who will be given their book on their right hand. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, that they will one day return to their families happy and smiling. Allahu Akbar. And he said, I saw comfort in the idea that I will see him again. And then he started to tell himself that this person, even though he has gone, look at what he has left behind. He's married, he has four daughters, subhanAllah. Just last October, he got his eldest daughter married. For sure, this person never thought he was going to leave this worldly life this soon. Just like every single one of us. But my friend started to think about how his cousin used to pray five times a day. He used to fast the month of Ramadan. He said even he used to help the brothers set up a da'wah stall outside to give Qur'ans to non-Muslims. And he said, I started to think about this and this made me feel at peace. Though still upset, he said, this is what made me feel. He said, this is what stopped me from going mad. This is what he said. And you know what? I thought about how he was dealing with this shocking news. And I felt so inspired. It reminded me of the verse where Allah the Almighty says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقَصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, we will certainly test you with fear, with hunger, with loss in terms of money, lives and crops. But glad tidings to those who are steadfast. Allahu Akbar. You see, my brothers and sisters, Allah has already told us clearly that this life is designed to be a test. This life has been designed to be full of tribulation. And just knowing that from the get-go makes those difficulties easier. Have you ever asked someone for directions and they say to you, oh, it's just over there. And then as you are walking towards that place, you realize it is not just over there. It is very far away. Now that journey seems so much longer. Had that person said to you, oh, it's going to take you about 10 minutes. As you're walking now, you have told yourself it's going to be a bit of a walk. Now it doesn't seem that long. Allah the Almighty tells us in so many places, this life is going to be a test. It's going to have difficulty. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So be patient, be steadfast. But one of the ways in which a person can be steadfast and can have sabr is by looking at the example of my friend. Because in that moment where he was in the eye of the storm, feelings, emotions were running wild. Most people in that situation would start to say, why did this happen for? How unfair is this? What is going to happen to his children? What is going to happen to his kids? Who's going to look after his wife? What was he thinking about? He was thinking about the promises of Allah, subhanAllah. He was thinking about how Allah the Almighty has promised, huwa maulana, that He is our protector, our guardian. SubhanAllah, at one point in the conversation, we were talking about the children, and then somebody said, maybe that these children will be looked after even better without their father. Because if you think about it, who was looking after them with their father? It was Allah then, and it will be Allah after that. Allahu Akbar. But we don't think about this. Why? Because we don't have knowledge of the Quran. We don't have knowledge of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. If we were to educate ourselves about what Allah says and about what the Prophet ﷺ tells us, we will not have the knowledge required to get through those difficult tests in life. Trust me, the people that you see who thrive through tests, who do not lose their minds through calamity, it is because they are clinging on to the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah doesn't burden a soul more than it can bear. The promise of Allah. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Certainly, after hardship will come ease. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the thoughts that enter the mind of a person in those difficult moments. They give them hope. They give them strength. And they allow them to get through those tests and in fact become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa tawfiq. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. In 10 years time, some people in this room will no longer be here. Maybe I will be one of those people. In 30 years time, many of us will not be here. In 60 years time, not only will many of us not be here, but many of those who had died will be forgotten. Yes, you'll be forgotten. No one will remember you. No one will say your name, except perhaps the dua of a righteous son or daughter. May Allah grant us that. No one will think of us. But there is something that if you do, it will live forever. Something that if you were to do now, it will not be forgotten. It will be recorded, registered, and rewarded for. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wealth, children, they are the adornments of this worldly life. والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك. But the everlasting good deeds that you do, far better in the sight of Allah. ثوابا وخير أملا. In terms of reward and in terms of placing your hopes in. Allahu Akbar. That is what Allah says. That if you want this life to mean something, to count, what do you have to do? You have to do good deeds. You have to work in this life. You have to worship Allah. Sacrifice for Allah. Say no to haram for the sake of Allah. You have to spend time praying to Allah. Spend time fasting for the sake of Allah. Spend time opening the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the Quran. These are the good deeds.
that start to increase on your record. And then when you die, those good deeds keep living. And then on the day of judgment, when you are asked, what did you do? Your book will be presented. And on that book, it will have everything you did of good written down. Allah will not forget a single thing. Since the news, my friend, he said, you know, it affected me deeply. I said, how? He said, now I try to do more good deeds. I try to spend longer in the masjid. He said, I tried to wake up in the morning. He said, I started to work less. Because in the morning I want to have a routine. I go to pray Fajr. I make my dhikr. So I read my Quran. And then I take my children to school. I want to spend time with them. I said, SubhanAllah, see how this news has brought you closer to Allah. This news has made you into a better person. And this is how the reminder of death should affect every single one of us. It should increase us in our good deeds. And it should make us more mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah the Almighty to grant us husn al-khatima, the best ending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a death upon la ilaha illallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to use every moment of life He has given to work towards the final meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ